It's time now for Inside the Huddle on WILO, hosted by Ken Hartman. This program will focus on area schools and all the sports they have to offer. Ken will speak with coaches and players across the region, and your participation is encouraged. Call now at 659-3338 to discuss local or statewide sports. Inside the Huddle is brought to you by Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Now here's your host, Ken Hartman.
Good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. On this week's show, we have a very special guest coming up here shortly. We're going to talk about girls basketball. We'll get to him in just a second. 9:15, we're going to have Atlantic Sun Conference Commissioner Ted Gumbart on, followed by Negro Leagues Baseball Museum Director Bob Kendrick at 9:30. Then at 9:45, we're going to have Big South Conference Commissioner Kyle Kulander. That'll be our lineup for the day today. But right now, we have our very special guest, Mr. Don Stock. How you doing, Don?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. Resting my voice for tonight.
Mm-hmm. That's what I Dennis told me. You were a little hoarse when you called in this morning.
Oh, man. Well, you know, it was a great basketball game. Watched the Gophers travel through uncharted territory last night in the last 2 minutes of a ball game was really fun. And to watch Coach Anthrop guide that ship through was just amazing. And I say that because it was uncharted territory. The girls haven't gotten to a position of that magnitude last night. I know that they've played a lot of good basketball teams this year, but to play a tournament against a rival team that usually things go their way, it didn't. And last night it was a truly team victory, as everybody had a dog in the fight last night. It was fun to watch.
And, of course, we're talking about Prairie's victory over Central Catholic 46-41 last night to advance to the sectional finals. So, first of all, is it at 7 or 7:30 tonight? I've seen 7 for a start tonight.
It was scheduled for 7:30. We're going to be over there. We try to get there an hour before the ball game just to get settled in, do our normal thing of having a pop and a bag of popcorn. That's usually our supper. And so we'll be over there early tomorrow to make sure. But it's scheduled on the lineup sheet I have right here in front of me at 7:30 start time.
The only reason I said 7, because that's what the IHSAA on their sectional site said for tonight, that, you know, you go to the girls' basketball, go to those Class 3A, or 2A, I should say, and you go to the sectional at Fountain Central, and it said 7 o'clock, so.
Oh, you know what? I just now pull up, and it does. You're right. It says 7 o'clock, not 7:30.
Okay.
So it is a 7 o'clock start tonight.
Yeah. And I think that's not, you know, and most times I think people usually do that to give everybody a chance to get out and have a little celebration if they so desire. But I don't mind doing that. I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, it's a good thing, especially when they're calling for 1 to 3 inches of snow coming in tonight.
Oh,
so
gee.
I'm all for that.
I hadn't heard that part yet, so I really, you know.
I'm all for that.
Hey, what happened with the second game? I know it never got played. I read this morning that Seeger had withdrawn from the tournament.
Yeah, they had COVID testing challenges. So they had some players that were traced back with the surrounding process, and so it rolled them out. You want to talk about unfairness? How about Fountain Center, who gets beat by them on Monday night,
mm-hmm.
only to get Seeger out on the next day or the following day for the COVID issues? Like, you know, you look back at that and you go, man, something just doesn't seem fair about that. But
that's true. So it's Prairie against Sheridan at 7 tonight. So what are you expecting?
I'm expecting a pretty good basketball game. I spoke with the coaching staff a little bit before last night's basketball game, and they told me if they had their druthers, they'd rather have played Seeger rather than Sheridan, only because of the massive blowout that they had over there at Sheridan. It's a pretty good basketball team, that Sheridan is. They just weren't hitting on any cylinders the night that Prairie picked them up. You can put that towards the Prairie defense, because it can be stifling at times with Hadley Wilson and Kylie Mash out there, and the Swan girl. They played good defense along with Neil. And you could say that, but I think they're a little tentative, but it should be a ball game that that Prairie should handle very, very well. One thing you got to think about, though, is now Prairie's played a pretty stressful basketball game last night and win. Sheridan has yet to play in any ball game, and they're in a sectional championship.
Yeah, and that's always, and the problem is you never know how people are going to react their first game there, and plus you never know, like in Prairie's situation, okay, we got past our big hurdle, we just, we don't have to worry about the next one, but yeah, you do.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Coach Anthrop will drill them in on that. Her intensity and her to the point of how to play will play a big part tonight, and I think she'll have the girls refocus. You know, I can see they got to be still excited, but they're going to be doing a walkthrough this morning, getting things ready for Sheridan, and I think that Coach Anthrop has a way to grab the girls' attention and make sure they're ready to go tonight.
I think she does too. She's a very, very, very good coach. I mean, it's
very good. I'll just tell you, last night, coming down the home stretch, timeouts at the right moments, chances for the Prairie to cough the ball up on a trap play. She was on top of her game last night, orchestrating it through, and the girls followed toe to toe with her, and it was a fun thing to watch. And you got to be so happy for this basketball team, because they're carrying the weight for several years where they've been very good and getting knocked out in that first basketball game.
It's
a big step last night for them.
Yeah, and not to change the subject here a little bit, but Clinton Central's still going. They beat Attica. They beat them bad last night, 53-24, and they get North Vermilion tonight, who got past Faith Christian. I think they will, too.
I think you're going to have two county teams moving on, and that's fun to do. Don't you wish sometimes that you could split up and get them both, but we will follow with Prairie if they get out of Fountain Central. We'll head over to Frankton, I think it is.
I think that sounds
right.
Regional
Prairie can get there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
been, they got a good chance over there.
Yeah.
Terrell gets beat in that game.
How long has it been since we've had more than one team get into a regional?
That's a great question.
I don't think I remember that since I've even been here. And I've been here a while now.
I can't think of a time, Dan.
I can't either.
Usually you have them all playing in one sectional site in my time, and of course not everybody's going to get out. Now they do split up a little bit, but to have both teams moving on is a great thing, I think, for county basketball.
That's right. So, and the nice thing about it is that, you know, whatever you do today, if you win tonight, you've got a week to recoup and get ready to go for next week.
Yeah, plenty of time to get ready. You do have to play two games on Saturday, though. It's the only time you have to do that in the tournament. And I think that, you know, I just have all the faith in the world with Coach Anthrop and junior varsity assistant Hillary Guffey. Man, I tell you, those two tag team well together. And I think that will help out tremendously getting these youngsters through. And they got a chance to take a good run here. We'll see what happens.
Okay. 7 o'clock tonight from Fountain Central. You be careful getting over there. You and Carl got a time and place to hook up and go.
Yeah, we try to get over there an hour before the ball game just to get settled in, get everything ready to roll, go through our pregame process and get ready to get on the air. So try to get with Coach Anthrop tonight before the ball game, just get a few words of wisdom from her, and then we'll be ready to go at 7 o'clock.
Okay. Well, if you have a successful night, make sure you don't lose your voice in the middle of all that tonight.
I'll try not to scream and holler. You know, it was hard not to. You had the Prairie bench right beside you that was going crazy, and I felt like I had to get up over the top of them for people to hear me.
the nice thing about your voice and to a certain extent my voice is that, you know, our voices carry without a whole lot of help. So
you just get wrapped up in the excitement of it.
That's true.
And all a good thing. All a good thing.
Okay. Don, anything else you want to add before I let you go?
Hey, I don't. Or we just say go Gophers tonight and go Bulldogs. Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can't get two in the regional round.
Yeah, that would be good. So you take care. Please be safe going over tonight. So and be safe coming back tonight, all right?
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Don. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. That's Don Stock, who does our play-by-play for high school basketball, both boys and girls. And as he said, we have the sectional final tonight for the girls over at Fountain Central as Clinton Prairie will play Sheridan. Tank game time is 7. We're also talking about the other one that's over at Attica tonight as Clinton Central will play North Vermillion for a sectional title. That game starts at 7:30 over at Attica. We got a few minutes left here before we get to our next guest. Big Ten action today. I think there's two games is all on the schedule for today. I take it back. 3. I was wrong. 2:30, Wisconsin's at Illinois. That should be a fun game. Wisconsin's not playing real well. Illinois is playing, yeah, so for them. 4:30, Northwestern is over at Mackey Arena to play Purdue. 6:30, this is on BTN. Nebraska's at Michigan State. What makes this game interesting in my mind is that, first of all, when Michigan State came back last Thursday, they went over to Rutgers. They hadn't played for about 2-3 weeks and scored 37 points for a game and just got annihilated by Rutgers. Nebraska's kind of in the same mode because right now they're 4-8 and 0-5, and they're really not a very good basketball team. But they're scheduled to play, as we said, tonight out of Michigan State. We've made 26 days since they last played a game. So that's going to be interesting. And their head coach, Fred Hoiberg, who has had some COVID issues, he's also had some heart issues. He was born with a heart abnormality. It's going to be interesting to see how he handles things and how Nebraska handles things. It'll be their first game tonight within 26 days. That's a long time off in the middle of the year. Tomorrow at noon down at IU, there's the Hoosiers host Iowa. That should be a fun ball game. Tip time is noon. The game is on Fox TV tomorrow at noon. Of course, that's Super Bowl Sunday tomorrow as well. A couple other things we do need to mention. I want to go through my little pile I have here. And I've already been through that part. So, there's what I'm looking for right here in front of me. And can't even find it. That shows you what kind of day this may be. Just like the men's tournament, the NCAA women's basketball tournament will be held at one site. They're going to be held in San Antonio. Be held on 6 courts at 5 venues in the San Antonio region from March the 21st through April the 4th. It was announced yesterday. The Alamo Dome will host the Women's Final Four, Elite Eight, and Sweet 16. All 63 games of the 64-team event will be televised by ESPN Family Networks and available on the ESPN Act. No decisions have been made as yet to fan attendance. First round will be in 3 different cities, San Antonio, Austin, and San Marcos, and all subsequent games will be in San Antonio. The Alamo Dome has been scheduled as a 2021 Final Four host, but with COVID pandemic, the entire event was moved to that area for safety reasons. COVID-19 testing will take place throughout the event, and NCAA will work with the San Antonio Metro Health Department on approved medical protocols. So just like the men's are with Indianapolis, San Antonio is now host for that. Just that whole area is going to be, whole thing, just one spot. And also, in case you didn't know it, it was announced earlier this week that the Big Ten Conference is going to move their conference tournament, assuming they have one. That's one of our big talking points today. And assuming that happens, it's being moved from Chicago down to Indy for that week. Big Ten also released its college football schedule for 2021 yesterday. Ohio State-Michigan matchup, as well as the Big Ten's traditional rivalry games, will return to the final week of the regular season this coming year. It was announced Friday as the conference released its revised 2021 schedule. The schedule had some differences from the one originally released in 2017, including the one location for some of the games, as well as the order which they'll be played. Ohio State, which represented the Big Ten Conference in the college football playoff this past season, opens up its conference slate against Minnesota on Thursday, September the 2nd. In addition, the annual clash between the Buckeyes and the Wolverines, which will be held in Ann Arbor this season. Other rivalry games for November 27th include Wisconsin-Nebraska, Northwestern Illinois, Indiana-Purdue, and the official schedule also features a couple of neutral site games. Nebraska and Illinois will tentatively kick off the Big Ten season in Dublin, Ireland. What do you think the chances of that thing will be of playing over Dublin, Ireland on the 28th of August? While Wisconsin will face Notre Dame on September the 25th at Soldier Field in Chicago. So that's part of what the Big Ten is up to as far as basketball and football. And one other little thing before we get to a break here. It looks like the Colts may be down to one choice for an upgraded quarterback. Looks like Carson Wentz could be that person since Frank Reich was his offensive coordinator when he was at Philly. The Colts do have $69 million worth of cap space available. And right now they have the 21st and 54th overall picks. According to what I'm reading here from ESPN, this has been the most logical landing spot for Wentz. Coach Frank Reich was Wentz's offensive coordinator his first 2 years league and helped him do a near MVP campaign in 2017. Former Eagles quarterback coach passing game coordinator Press Taylor is reportedly heading to Indianapolis as well, putting two of the coaches Wentz trusts most in one spot. The Colts are flush with cash and need a quarterback following Phillip Rivers' retirement. This thing just makes sense. They didn't get it done with Stafford, and you know, they didn't get done with a couple other things. Maybe they'll get it done with Carson Wentz. We're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper.
State Farm agents are one of a kind. They understand insurance and share a genuine concern for others. State Farm agent Susan Casper works very hard every day to help people find the right products for their insurance and financial needs. From homeowners and renters to retirement planning, please call Susan Casper today to talk about which products are best for you. Get to a better state. State Farm.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one source for the latest news in Clinton and surrounding counties. But that's not all we have to offer. Listen to archived audio from the past five programs on the Party Line program every day. Plus, make sure you chime in our weekly poll question at the bottom of the page. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper.
WILO wants to hear from you. Let us know your opinion by sending us an email. We now have a sound-off page at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Just go to the community page and click on Sound Off to submit your opinion. We've made it easy for you to sound off on the local issues important to you. You can also submit by emailing your opinion to newsroom@casperradio.com. Let us know what's on your mind. One more way we're keeping you connected. WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down.
13.
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street. Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent. I'm Ken Hartman. We were expecting to have a conversation with Atlantic Sun Conference Commissioner Ted Gumbart. He was going to call us. He has not done that as of yet. So we're going to try to go ahead and get down to our next guest, who is supposed to be Bob Kendrick of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. The Atlantic Sun Conference has been doing a lot of different things. They've been doing a lot of expansion, and they've added now football to their league. So, I mean, this is something that, that's something that's going to be. We got a couple of phones ringing, so hopefully that is going to be Ted calling here very quickly. So, but they've got a lot of stuff going on in their league right now, and we had Ted on a year ago, and we're trying to go ahead and get him taken care of here. Okay, I think we got it now, so let me do this. Ted, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Fine. How's things down in Atlanta this morning?
Well, I'm actually off near the coast of Georgia in the marshy area.
Okay.
And given my daughter a ride to the Dollar General to get some things. So completely forgot about the call-in, and Greg prompted me. I said, oh, man. So I'm glad I didn't miss it.
Okay. Of course, we had you on a year ago. Of course, you guys were a relatively new conference back then, and you're still relatively young, but I think things are starting to come together. You've expanded. You've gotten to go into football now.
Oh, yeah. It's big, and we're really excited.
So what you got about what now? You got football is now the 20th sport, if I remember correctly. And so who else going to be in that for you?
Well, I'll tell you, we've got two in our 9-team conference as this year, and that's Kennesaw State and North Alabama.
Okay.
They both play at the FCS scholarship level, and then we're adding Eastern Kentucky, Central Arkansas, and Jacksonville State to give us five, and we expect that maybe not for fall of 21, but by fall of 22, we've got designs on being at least six so that we can qualify for our own automatic bid.
Okay, and you guys are going to be a BCS, not or I should say an FCS, not a BCS.
Correct.
Yeah, so, okay. So, now, this spring, I should say? Are you going to have any spring football, or are you just going to let everybody go to the fall?
Well, everybody's in their current conference, so Kennesaw State and UNA are in the Big South. We have a partnership with the Big South for football, and they will play a spring season there. I think UNA might opt out, but Kennesaw is playing. And then they'll come back and play a fall season, and because of that spring-fall, the likelihood is we will leave those two in the Big South, and then the other three will probably join in a group scheduling arrangement for 1 year, because the Big South is our partner for football. So we'll work with them and try to work towards two automatic bids, and then we'll do our own in 22.
And, of course, you guys, the FCS is going to have their Division One. I still call it Division 1A. I don't know why. I can't get over calling it FCS. It's pretty difficult for me to do. But
yeah. Well, hey, there's a lot of people that do that. The 1A, 1AA, 1AAA.
Mm-hmm.
Was simple, and if you're in the business, you knew what it meant.
Right.
And then just, branding and marketing, we got to do something different. So then it was FBS and FCS. And now things have evolved that the FBS, which people know as the bowl subdivision, now has a playoff.
Mm-hmm.
So the championship subdivision, was identified as the only group that had a playoff. And, of course, 24-team playoff versus a 4-team playoff. But, hey, it's football, and that's what people like to watch.
I think so, yeah.
I think there's only, one more football game this season.
Yeah, I think it's tomorrow. Small game out down south there in Tampa somewhere. Yeah. I think in your guys' playoffs going to be 16 teams this spring, and then it culminates in the championship down in Frisco, Texas. So.
Yep, absolutely, and it's something that we've had teams that play FCS football, but we've never sponsored it as a conference.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that was one of the reasons Jacksonville State in Jacksonville, Alabama, they joined Division One more than 20 years ago, and we were their first conference home, but we didn't have football.
Okay.
And when they got a chance to get in the OVC, they put everything together. They had played with us, and they played football in the Southland, actually with Troy.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that we are starting up football, it was a natural just geographically and kind of a homecoming for them. So it worked out well, and we're excited. And the five that we've got, our goal is to be the best FCS conference in the country. And we know we've got to prove that against the Missouri Valley, and we've got to prove it against the Colonial and anybody else who wants to make that claim. We've got to play. We've
mm-hmm.
got to play the best schedules, and we've got to post some W's up there. But with that five started, I mean, Jacksonville State's been in the national championship game. Eastern's got a couple of national titles to their credit. Kennesaw's won playoff games. Central Arkansas's won playoff games. We are in a place, and UNA is just in their transition.
Right.
It'll be next 22 before they're eligible to play in the playoffs. But those five all have aspirations every year of being in the playoffs.
And it seems like
that's the group we're building.
Right, and that seems like that's almost a constant every year for you guys, is that, you know, those teams are always there. At least some of them are usually there every year.
Absolutely, and that's what we figure, that we want to get the automatic bid because it's valuable in promoting the conference and guarantees the student-athletes that they can chase an AQ. But we fully expect to send multiple teams to the FCS playoffs, and, you know, that's a great way to partner with people when that's their attitude. They want to play the best, and they want to be the best. So that's people that love football to find out that generally you love winning football a lot better than you love just football.
Right.
So hopefully we'll play a winning brand, and it'll be something that really propels the ASUN forward. And we hope that, and we think it will add to our branding for basketball and everything else. I mean, we just announced lacrosse. We're going to start men's lacrosse with some affiliates. So it's something that we are about building and growing. We are about partnerships, but we also, for the value of being in the ASUN, we want to provide a great student experience, and we want to promote our institution. So I think we're doing pretty well. It's been a good couple of weeks.
You know, and something else that's been a very hot topic here the last 2 weeks to a month is the postseason conference tournaments. Now, I understand for you, I think for the one bid leagues like you guys are, I think you pretty much have to play it regardless of what happens. Now, the other ones from the Power Five, they may not want to play. So what's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting. From a management situation, this is, you know, I got my degree in economics and business, and then I got a MBA. So a lot of it is about management and how you handle situations. My take on it is you don't make a decision until you have to. You say, hey, we're monitoring, we're watching, we're staying flexible. And we had a home higher seed site structure, and that's our format for the last probably 6 years. Well, we had to abandon that. We can't have teams flying from site to site from a Tuesday to a Thursday and get the testing done and be safe. So we have had to change that. We left that decision. We said, look, we'll wait till the 1st of January, and we'll make that decision. And our first meeting after the new year, we said we can't travel. We've got to have a predetermined site. So we picked a place where everybody could bus to. So our men are going to play in Jacksonville, and our women are going to play in the Atlanta area at Kennesaw. We're going to use two venues so that teams don't have to overlap their site. But twofold, you're exactly right. We want to play because that's what our student athletes build for. We hope that as we grow, we'll become a multiple bid league, but you need to be up in the 12-11 range as a conference in RPI, mm-hmm. and we just haven't been there for a number of years. We want to be back there, but for right now, the student athletes that want to play, you know, in a tournament setting to get to the NCAA. Well, really, our conference tournament is just an extension of the NCAA. You go into that tournament and you say, like, hey, if you win the rest of your games, you're the NCAA champion.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gets harder every step of the way, but they all want to see how far they can go.
Yeah.
Challenge yourself. That's the commitment we made to those student athletes. So we're doing everything we can. We've got a safe play health committee that's working with the local organizers and the health people in Jacksonville and in Kennesaw, and that's our current plan. You also have to be flexible and say, hey, if something changes, we will pivot, as the word is these days. But
mm-hmm.
right now, that's our plan, is to provide that and then keep those teams healthy so they can go into postseason play. Our men play a week before the NCAAs, so we've got to test them every day and keep them clean, because to show up in the Indy you have to have 7 consecutive days of,
right.
of clean testing.
Mm-hmm.
So we will, the conference will sponsor that. And right now, our conference standings, 7-2 leads the league, and that's Bellarmine mm-hmm. out of Louisville. And they are not eligible for the postseason in the NCAA, but they are eligible for the NIT. So if they stay there, they'll be our regular season champs, and they would likely go to the NIT if that event is played. Now, that's even a question that we're monitoring. It probably will be a smaller field. It'll probably be one site. But what could be more exciting than your first year as a Division I program to be able to play in a postseason tournament? So, yeah, we got a lot of things we're watching, but our plan is to play. We've got hotel plans, we've got practice venues, we've got 2 playing venues, and we haven't committed to crowd situations, whether we can have any or not, but that's scheduled for a decision on Friday the 12th, and any decision we make obviously will be subject to further revision, but that's what we want to do, and we've got a good medical board that keeps us on the safe side of things.
Toughest thing that you guys have to do is try and get all the medical things and get all the testing arranged, correct?
Yeah, it's a logistical issue, and you've got to get all the parties online to say, hey, here's the standard. So we're going to bring people in no more than one day before you play. So you can't come in 2 days early. It's like, nope, we don't want you here. Then they come into the hotel, and then they'll be tested every day, and the local health authorities determine there's some different standards. Do you, if you tested positive and then you recovered and you're out of the testing regimen, is it for 90 days or 120 days or 150 days? What are the contact tracing rules? Do we need to mask and have 6 feet apart on the bench so that if one player pops positive, is the whole team out automatically? Or you just have to work with the local officials. They make those decisions. And we're very careful about having our medical people do that, not administrators. And, yes, it's a challenge, but I think that's just living up to the promise we made to the student-athletes. They're still going to school.
Mm-hmm.
They're still getting their progress towards degree. And, you know, as long as we can do it safely, then that's what we want to do.
Okay. Ted, anything else you want to add before I let you go?
Hey, it's always a great thing to share that more than 70% of ASUN student-athletes post a 3.0 academically. And we're very proud of the fact our 4 beams of the ASUN, the very first one is students first. And they are students first. If they're student athletes, the student part comes first. And we take it seriously. We tell our SAC members, the Student Athlete Advisory Committee, or any group that I meet with, it is a mutual commitment that you got to get your degree. Otherwise, it was just a little rec league play.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're focused on. And the academic success, I tell you, one of the most gratifying things I've seen is when certain players graduate and SAC members from other schools are sending congratulations messages back and forth.
Yep, that
and,
is great.
You think that sounds corny and trite, but I'm like, hey, when you play a game, one team wins and the other team loses. It's just
that's
the
right.
way it is, unless it's a draw in soccer. But
mm-hmm.
but when you have that, that's when everybody wins. And as a commissioner, that really is cool to see an FGCU player congratulate a UNF player on graduation. And that's something we really value and promote. So thanks for giving me a chance to shout it in there.
Okay. Ted, thanks much for the time. Greatly appreciate it. You take care. We will probably catch you a little further down the line, okay?
Love to do it. Thank you.
All right. Take care of yourself. All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Atlantic Sun Conference Commissioner Ted Gumbart. We're going to take a quick break right now and bring our next guest on. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper.